Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
The cycle goes away when you focus on getting rid of the busyness. You've got to do it. So many of you listening have such busy practices. It's time to consider, do you drop one or two insurance plans? Do you start pushing people out for certain types of procedures? Do you start only doing, you know, people think I'm crazy, but there was a time when we were so busy that I finally told patients, if we don't do all the quadrant dentistry at once, I can't do one tooth at a time. I just can't do it.
We've been misled to believe that dentistry, more specifically the dental business, has to be complicated. Dentistry can be simple and dentistry should be simple.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a new episode of the Dentistry Made Simple podcast. I'm your host, Tarun Agarwal, and I'm joined by our lovely co-host who is no longer pregnant now for like 4 months, 3 months.
Has this become my identity now?
Yeah, I think so. Listen, this week we're going to bring back an oldie but goldie segment to our podcast, which is the Ask T-Bone segment. So I'd love for you guys to submit questions to us. All you got to do is email marketing@3d-dentists.com, or you can slide into our DMs on social media and ask a question that way. We'd love that so that we can answer your questions directly. So Meredith, do you have anything to sell this week?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to mention, and maybe you can add a little bit more to this, but we have a couple new programs coming for the end of 2023 and lots of new stuff coming for 2024. Off the top of my head, I'm thinking of our new Scale Your Full Arch program. So if you want to give a little insight of that and let people know kind of what we've been working on.
Yeah, so let's real quick, before we get into this week's episode, let me talk to you a little bit about full arch implant dentistry. I've always said for 14, 15 years now that implant dentistry was a gateway drug that totally changed my life. And in the last year and a half or 2 years, I've really gotten deeper into full arch implant dentistry, and it's become pretty much the majority of what I do in my part of the practice now. My practice is still a general dentistry practice that does all levels of service, but me personally, to keep getting down in number of days without decreasing revenue, I've doubled down on full arch implant dentistry. And we have two programs for the end of 2023 and for 2024 focused directly on full arch implant dentistry. The first is for those of you that are ready to level up your implant skills and get started in full arch implant dentistry. We have the Full Arch Express, which is a 5-day program focused on the didactic training for all full arch implant dentistry and live patients of overdentures and fixed hybrids. Phenomenal program. In 1 week, you'll get the didactic training and the live patient experience that you need to go back to your practice with confidence to implement this into your practice. And for those of you that are like me about a year, year and a half ago, where you're doing a full arch case every so often, maybe once a month, once every 2 months, and you're like, hey, I like this and I want to go in deeper, there's a lot of things that Sully and I have learned on scaling your full arch practice. And we have a 3-day program that digitizes your workflow. So you, those of you that already kind of know the surgical aspects of full arch dentistry, but you're like, hey, I want to go from doing 1 to 5, 10 arches per month. Let us walk you through in 3 days what it takes from a clinical side and what it takes from a business side and what it also takes from a marketing side to implement that into your practice. So you can move your practice from one case every so often to, in my case, about 5 arches a month, and in Sully's case, about 10 arches per month. I just don't want to work as much as he does. So that's kind of where we're at on that.
Yeah, well, that sounds great. Hopefully, that will be beginning in November in Nashville, and registration will open for that in July.
All right, perfect.
So we're excited to have it. All
right, so what's the question this week, Mary?
Well, so we've kind of summarized it a little bit so we can get right into things, but someone submitted this on a form that we're actually not on, and somebody said, you should send this to the podcast. I would love to hear T-Bone's explanation on this. And then when we got it, it kind of enlightened us because it was kind of a aha moment because we actually have been through this. So the Ask T-Bone of the week is the front desk lead left. And I feel like that's very common, right? So then what's left is an insurance coordinator and a newbie front office team member. They've already taken the steps to outsource billing. So we're not sure which team member did the billing, but I would assume it must have been the primary role of the lead front desk person, which is probably why they left. Okay. Because that's a lot to be the face of everything, the lead person answering. Mm-hmm. I would assume they're probably the lead person people are going to from the back as well, plus doing insurance. However, outsourcing billing is probably not the answer to all of their problems.
Yeah.
Right. It's definitely a short-term fix. But how would you, so they had a couple concerns.
Okay.
These are from them as well. The newbie is new to dentistry.
Hence the name newbie.
Yep. So they can't necessarily talk to patients. I think that's more on a clinical level.
I hope they have the personal skills to talk to people.
They can speak. They're not deaf, but I think they can't speak clinically.
Okay.
But they are a great culture fit. You know, they're wondering what if the insurance coordinator leaves or takes time off.
So that's their fear.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about this a little bit. You know, the first thing I think of when somebody leaves is, number one, I like to get introspective very quickly and briefly.
Yeah.
What made this person leave? And this is a common theme I'm talking to a lot of our people in the mastermind about is team member challenges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at some point we joked about this, humans don't exist and all of that stuff.
But, or I just need a warm body.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, the reality is the reality.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't stop growing or performing our businesses. That excuse has been worn out that COVID is this or that. I mean, it's time to move on past that. So here's my take on why people leave. One, they're getting paid more somewhere else. Mm-hmm. They're getting better leadership or clarity somewhere else, or they're burned out in your practice.
Yeah.
And so it's typically one of those three things.
Yeah. And leadership and clarity, I think growth also goes with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because
they don't see growth if they're not clear on what they're doing and where they can go.
Yeah. So, you know, I think here's what I say on the pay issue. Okay. We're all dealing with this. There's ads out there that are showing top end pay. And maybe you don't have a top-end person, but they think that's what they deserve or can get. And what I believe is that you should proactively talk to people about this. And it's a difficult conversation. And unfortunately, as employers, sometimes we're in a position where we have to make choices that we don't want to make or deal with things that we don't want to deal with. And so we want to proactively talk about this to team members. Maybe that's implementing a bonus system. Maybe that's implementing a non-production bonus system. Maybe that's, you know, just you know, maybe it's a little bit of gas money here or there. It's you got to just find out where people are at. You don't want to be finding out when they're leaving. That's definitely not the time to find out.
Right.
And then a common issue I'm seeing is a lack of leadership and clarity. And I especially see this between the dentist and the business team members. The clinical team members and the hygiene team members, they get the dentist's attention because my assistants get plenty of my attention. I work with them, right? My hygienists get plenty of the attention because I work with them through the hygiene checks.
Mm-hmm.
Our front office team members, we typically will see them for 5-10 minutes.
And then
it's go, 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 go. Yeah. And by the time you're finishing up your notes, they've already left for the day. And there's really no connection with those business team members.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
For those who don't know, I was the newbie. Front desk. And I just have to add to that is you always used to say, come sit with me. Hey, how's it going? Can we chat today? Can we talk today? And I would always be like, when does he think I have the time to just come in there and sit?
We make the time.
You know, but there was never in between patients. There was never a time where I would just be like, now's a good time to leave the front desk because we were going through situations like this every now and again where I'm here by myself to come just sit with you is how I felt. Right? But the way you looked at it is, let's do some training. Let's walk through some cases. Yeah. Let's go through some things. And I just felt like I could never get away.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think admin, it's hardest for them to connect.
Yeah. And we put a lot on our admin team members' shoulders. Mm-hmm. You know, there's billing, there's phone calls, there's irate patients, there's AR, there's people walking in the door, people leaving, you know, there's treatment planning, there's people calling back for treatment. There's just so much. And they're the first people that people call and say, hey, I got a toothache. I need to get in. What do you mean you can't see me for 2-3 days? Mm-hmm. Why is this happening? Or I got pain. My bite hurts.
They said they could see me next week.
Right, because I always say, I say all kinds of stuff
to
patients.
The dentist told me they could see me next week.
You know, and so I think what this really leads me to believe or just want to say to people is I think so many of these problems are a result of busyness. We've created practices that are simply entirely too busy. And we're busy because we relate productivity to busyness. Mm-hmm. And productivity doesn't have to be busy. And then the dentist will tell me, well, I'm busy seeing patients and I've got to produce the revenue.
Yeah.
When do I have time to sit with the front office people? And my choice is do you want to, my response is you have two choices. Choice A is you make the time, whether that's before work, after work, or you as the dentist, give up some production time to train the team members to the results that you want, or you keep going down this hamster wheel and
turnover rate
goes up because what happens is the risk here is their fear is now the newbie person is like, I don't need this mess in my life right now, mm-hmm. you know, and then they end up turning over. And it's this cycle. And I swear on my life, the cycle goes away when you focus on getting rid of the busyness. You've got to do it. So many of you listening have such busy practices. It's time to consider, do you drop one or two insurance plans? Do you start pushing people out for certain types of procedures? Do you start only doing, you know, people think I'm crazy, but there was a time when we were so busy that I finally told patients, if we don't do all the quadrant dentistry at once, I can't do one tooth at a time. I just can't do it. And it's if you're a busy practice, then it's time for you to start dictating what you want your practice to be. And I know that's not the direct answer to the question that's come here, but I promise you, we don't need 3 or 4 front office people for a solo doctor practice. You don't. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need all this fancy outsourcing and all this fancy stuff. Those things have a place and a fit. But if we just slow our practices down and reverse engineer the outcome that we want, so many of these issues will go away. But let's answer the question, Meredith, yeah. Okay? So as Meredith, she had to remind me because I forget these. Mm-hmm. I forget the reality of things sometimes. Yeah. We had this nice lady with 20 years of experience in our practice. Yeah. She had a lot of experience. She wasn't necessarily a good cultural fit. And then I had asked Meredith to move to the front office. So she had, you know, she was very new to dentistry. At that point, she had just finished being an intern for 6 months or yeah. a year. So she had minimal, she was sterilization at that point, basically, right?
Yeah, I had done some assisting general dentistry.
Yeah. Basic.
When paper were out, yeah. trained a little bit.
She was a fill-in. She was just a spit
sucker. Procedure here and there,
you know?
Yeah.
To set up the room, put yeah. the ice light in, and call yeah. it a day, right? Yeah. So she didn't have a lot of experience clinically, but Meredith was a good cultural fit, and that sounds like what we're dealing here. Mm-hmm. So Meredith, walk us through kind of how we went from zero to being comfortable at the front in probably, what, 6 months?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. It definitely took some time. It was a lot of, let me figure this out and get back mm-hmm. to you. With people. It was a lot of communication, clear communication mm-hmm. with patients, with the team. I think you had to say a couple times, you can't take patients up to the front and drop them off.
Yeah. So I had to tell other team members.
Yes, which I think started to train team members. Mm-hmm. And that may have been when we implemented taking more payments in yeah. the back. We had struggled with implementing that, although we had the system set up mm-hmm. to do it. It gave team members no choice mm-hmm. but to do some of the things we had been working on. So it kind of, the team kind of worked more as a whole.
Can we pause for a second?
Yeah.
I think that's one area that I want us to focus on a little bit for a second is, why is there a checkout process in dentistry?
Right.
We're not a grocery store. We're not yeah. Walmart. Why can't we take quick payment in the back?
Well, majority, we have no payments to take. Most of it's just printing out a walkout.
Yeah. So let's again, so you're getting a little ahead in the sense yeah. that this is the importance of good systems. Like, and right. what Meredith means is a lot of times, most of the time with our dentist patients, there's no money to take the day of appointment because people have pre-set up
payments.
Their firm financial arrangements.
Right.
So before they even get on the schedule, they've committed, they've swiped their card, it's automated, you know, we've taken the payment in advance. Especially when you're busy and you have more demand than supply, you
right.
can start dictating some of these things. And on the hygiene side, the vast majority of those payments were $10, $15,
yeah.
$20. And so why can't the hygienist just take those in the back? That was simply a matter of buying a $30 credit card swiper mm-hmm. and putting it in the operatory. And so these are the little things that you can do to reduce some of the stress load on your front office people. Continue.
Yeah. So that created more of working as a team. And those were systems that we implemented that when we did gain new team members up front, we never changed. We
yeah.
never went back to bringing patients up and just dropping them off without communication
yeah.
or without having a plan of what we were doing by radioing prior. We were more cognizant of if people were available, mm-hmm. radioing ahead of time, because we knew that times were slim mm-hmm. and we had a lot more to get done. But as far as the dentistry and training, things like that, we had, you know, we were doing monthly meetings. It was
yeah.
a lot of numbers. It was a lot of, we changed those to more show and tell.
Yeah.
It became more team trainings, not office meetings. We didn't just
get
up there.
Which we continue to this day.
Right. That's where we realized, I mean, and I think at this time it was a new front office. We had a new hygiene.
We had new lots of things.
Yeah. So it was a lot of shifting around in the office at the time. And it was kind of like, okay, let's reassess and reset as a practice. So the fact that we were kind of doing things as a practice, but then other things were listening and walking through consults. So that was understanding how to treatment plan and or at least be able to pull up a treatment
yeah.
plan. So if a patient called and wanted to get something scheduled, you know, that was something I was able
yeah.
to do.
So these are the things that we did at our 2-3 hour monthly meetings
mm-hmm.
to help get Meredith on board, but also to get the back team on
yeah.
board as well. So that we started having other people answer phones. We put a phone in the back area so somebody can help. Things like that. Meredith, you had mentioned that at one point I hired another new front office team mm-hmm. member, and you said one of the best things I did with her was what?
So, you know, typically we hire a new front office person, an admin person, and we say, well, let's let admin follow admin, right?
Right.
This was a new person who did not have any dentistry mm-hmm. experience. And typically most doctors would say, so, you know, sit with the office manager for 2 weeks, learn everything you need to learn.
That's probably the worst thing they
and
can
you'll,
do.
And you'll be fine. Correct. I didn't say that.
No, I'm not because of the office. I'm just saying because they're doing things that aren't,
right,
the office manager should be doing things that aren't day-to-day things.
Right. So typically, but that's who would train them, right? Because right. that's who's available.
They would make it the most complicated way of doing things because they deal with problems.
Right. So since we had been self-sufficient up front for a couple months mm-hmm. before we found this person, what was going to be a couple more weeks, yeah. right? So you had this new front desk person follow you around for 2 weeks. Yeah. And you said, I just want you to follow me around, see everything that I do, see how I communicate with mm-hmm. people, see how I train people, watch my procedures. Mm-hmm. So you're able to tell patients what kind of dentistry we do.
Yeah.
For you, I mean, she had never seen a root canal. She had never seen an implant. She had never seen general dentistry,
right.
for much less surgeries and all the yeah. things that we offer in our practice. So, I mean, a lot of times I could call some of these people's, we've done this before in Mastermind. I could call your offices and say, do you treat sleep appliances? Do you do root canals? And your front office person doesn't even know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're so busy with the day-to-day things. They don't know what's going on.
Like, what insurance do you have?
Yeah, but they know what insurance. They know what insurance we take, okay?
Yeah.
But that's a fault of our own, is we don't even know what we offer.
Yeah.
She ended up being great. And guess what? She's an office manager of an office now.
In Canada now.
Yeah. I mean, but she was trained so well yeah. because you took the time and invested the time to really bring her up to speed.
Yeah, you know, that brings me to a point. And one of actually GT, one of our masterminders, said there was a disconnect between him and the treatment coordinator about how a tooth replacement therapy goes.
Mm-hmm.
And he was having a hard time explaining to her why we do things a certain way. And he said, you know, what I did this week is I just made her come watch a couple of patients.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, she came to me and said, now it makes sense.
Yeah.
I understand what you're doing, why you're doing it. I understand what the patient goes through. I know better how to talk about it. And I think this is an area that we forget in dentistry. We've been taught that there's such a separation between front and back. And really, it should be an integration of front and back. Mm-hmm. Your back people should be able to do some front things. Your front people should be able to do some back things.
It's almost like your front office should be an intern for a little while
yeah.
in the back, because that is where I learned the most, because I was an extra person. I was available to watch things. I was available to step in and help with things. I was able to see a full hygiene appointment yeah. start to finish. So I'm able to tell a new patient exactly what their appointment is going to yeah. be like.
What an implant looks like, what right. a root canal looks like. Does it hurt? Does it not hurt? Mm-hmm. All of these things.
You well, know? My last patient only screamed once. No, I'm just kidding.
that's only for the filling I
yeah,
did.
Right.
Speaking of which, implants. I did three fillings the other day.
Oh, I hope you didn't walk those out under your name.
No, I worked on another dentist, so I did them at no charge. So.
Oh, good.
You know, look, last point on this is these fears are real.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I get it.
And it's very common. This is yeah. way more common, I think, than people.
Right
think.
Now, especially, you know. Yeah. And it's probably going to be this way for the foreseeable future,
yeah.
unfortunately. But what I'm here to say is, don't live in fear. Okay, that is not a way to live and run your business, because that creates stagnation, that creates doing things reactively. And I'm working with the masterminder now on this. And it really, as he was talking about some team issues that he's dealing with, I noticed a couple of things. I said, number one, you keep hiring a lot of part-time people. And they may be good people, but they're not invested in your practice.
Committed.
They're, you know, they're part-time for a reason. Mm-hmm. Either they're somewhere else, and they're splitting time between you and somebody else, and they're yeah. so they're sharing their love, which we know is no good,
yeah.
okay, and all the facts of life. Or they have something more important, and they work to kind of satisfy some need, but they're not all in. Okay, and look, that's a broad generalization, I get it, but typically true. And in an ideal world, I want to have committed people who are committed to my cause, the practice's cause.
Okay? Especially as team leads.
All yeah. team members in a perfect world.
Right.
All team members. The other thing I noticed was that this person didn't have any true, stable, all-in, dependable team members. And, you know, Meredith, you remember probably about 3 years ago, I called you guys on New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I called you, Megan, and Liz. I said, I need you to come to my house. I want to talk to you about some concerns I have, what I want to do. And basically, I was there to say, listen, we're getting ready to go through another transition.
Mm-hmm.
The practice is going to change. These are my areas of frustration. This is an open, safe forum. Give me the feedback I need and let me know, are you all in to work? Okay.
I mean, your team talks to your team. Like, team members who aren't happy tell other team members. And that toxicity.
It's a cancer.
Yeah, that toxicity, I was going to say, spreads. Yeah. So it's best to move on as quickly. I mean, Gary Vee always says it's not how quick you hire.
It's how quick you fire. Yeah. You know, and I have always found that I am more confident in my, I'm very confident in that I see a path forward. I haven't always been completely confident that we can get there or I'm willing to go through the pain. I'm willing to go through the pain when I know I have people with me. Okay.
And sometimes you don't have the choice.
Well, no.
Sometimes not you in general. Yeah, just people
but
don't have the choice.
My point in that is being able to sit with you three and say, listen, this may mean this. Meredith, you may have to come in and work the front at the same time as we're doing 3D.
And I did.
Okay. Yeah. Megan, this may mean that in addition to, you may have to go back to doing hygiene and doing some treatment coordinating. Liz, this means you may be going to sleep practice and assisting. We may have to come back to assisting.
Yeah.
But this is the vision of where I want to get to. And what I find is those people give me the confidence to stick to where I want to get to. Now, I don't want to say stick to my guns like I'm just going to bully people. But it gives me confidence that I'm on the right track. I've got three people behind me that are willing to go to battle with me.
And that would also say, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
That's not realistic.
Right.
Yeah.
Or like, hey, you can't handle it this way. Like Megan's the best at this right now. She's like, you can't do what you did 10 years ago.
Right.
Like she tells me that these are different people, you know, and Liz reminds me of that too.
Well, I do want to say a few minutes ago, you mentioned that we can't say that, you know, the times aren't going to be changing for a little while and, you know, all these excuses, but we went through this prior to COVID.
Yeah.
This wasn't when people were hard to, you know, people say, oh, it's hard to find people now because of COVID. It was hard to find good people.
Good people.
5 years ago.
Yeah, it's always been hard to find good people.
Like, that's never going to change.
Yeah. And here's what I'll say. I've never found good people.
Right. Trained all in.
Yeah. I found good people.
Yeah.
You know, I found good cultural fits, and I've never found people that have, generally speaking, been very trained in dentistry.
But you do things a little different, maybe.
I'll argue I do things very logically.
Yeah.
You know, very simplistically and logically. Uh-huh. You know, number one is the primary goal of our business is to take care of people. Patient experience is number one.
Yeah.
The secondary goal of our business is to produce revenue, and I want to produce the revenue with the least amount of friction and the least amount of effort as possible, and things that produce the least amount of revenue or people that create the least best experience are the last people I want to see.
Right.
You know, and so to me, that part's simple, you know, and if we can make payments less friction and make it easier for patients or for the dentistry, put them on a credit card swiper so that we don't have to have these conversations, the better. You know, if I can do dentistry in one visit versus three visits, the better, you know.
Yeah.
So I've always tried to be pretty.
Yeah.
So
what would you do? What would be your three steps you would give somebody to get out of this scenario or fix this scenario if they were in this problem and asking you this? What would be three things you would ask them or tell them they should do to?
Yeah. So the first thing I would do in this situation is I would double down on the good cultural fit person, the newbie. Let's get them up to speed as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Okay. Identify what are the most critical tasks that this person needs to do. To me, just speaking off the top of my head, the most critical task a front office person has to do is answer the phone and take people in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When somebody walks in the door and when they answer the phone, I got to make it clear what to do. I love your answer about when somebody asks a question that you don't know the answer to, say, just be honest. Hey, I don't know the answer to that. If you give me an hour, I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
And then write it down and actually get back to the person and get up off your buttocks and go ask somebody and then call the patient back.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the more we do that, the less often you have to do that. And that naturally happens.
Right.
So that's the first thing I would do with the good cultural fit, because you got to dance with who you got. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the second part of that is then I would start trying to find some new people to dance with. Okay. Mm-hmm. I would put ads out right away. And a mistake, and I've said this multiple times, a mistake dentists make is they hire somebody and then they stop looking for other things, okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, just because I hired somebody doesn't mean I stop looking, because when you hire somebody, it's like going on a date for the first 2-3 times. You don't know where that's going to lead to, so you don't stop. You know,
I think off of one front desk ad, you hired an office manager, a treatment coordinator, and a front office at one time.
Yeah, just, you know, and you take risks. I mean, sometimes you got to hire three and know you're going to keep two, you know, or maybe you keep all three because they're amazing. Yeah. Or maybe you keep one because only one is good. You know, you can't just hire one for one because then you're back into the same pattern of being stuck.
Yeah. And there's no way for growth.
Yeah.
When you're constantly on the turnover wheel.
Yeah, or you're constantly on the survival, you're a little doggy.
Yeah, you're constantly training someone up with the same things. And we even say, like, it's the same four things over and over again, whether they're trained or not. So if they're really not trained, it's going backwards on those four things.
Last point, because I just looked over there and I said, what if the insurance coordinator, which is the longtime team member, leaves or takes time off? The leave part, that's complicated. The take time off part, I would like to uncomplicate that. When we were a leaner office and we had only a few people here and there and every team member mattered, like now we're at scale, but we're a bigger office and we have redundancies in place. Mm-hmm. But when we didn't have redundancy with team, we have coverage in place. Mm-hmm. When we didn't have coverage with team members, we created a rule, and rules are meant to be broken or bent, I should say. Mm-hmm. But team member time off was when the doctor was gone. So that way there wasn't time off, like, and we don't let multiple people take time off at the same time and within the same arena. Like, I can't have two of my three assistants take time off at the same time. It can't happen. Like, for example, I'm going today, probably while you get this podcast, I'll already be on the vacation. I'm going on vacation for 2 weeks with my 17-year-old son to play golf in Scotland. And this is the time where our team members, those that need to take time off, this is when they take time off.
So your assistant's off 1 week, your treatment coordinator's off 1 week.
1 week, and Caroline's off 1 week, and then you have a baby, and you kind of, I don't know if you take time off or don't take time off. But, you know, and so we set these expectations, and these are the things we talk about when we hire people. You set the expectations and your cultural fit, and I've never lived in fear. Or that much fear. I live in fear, but never that much fear that when somebody says, well, I have to take this time off and it's the worst time of year for them to take off, I don't say, well, that's okay. I just say, unfortunately, that doesn't work. So either we have to decide that this job works or this job doesn't work.
Yeah, I think as an insurance coordinator, that's one of the easiest ones for them to be able to take off. I mean, I'm assuming if you're outsourcing the billing, you're assuming the insurance coordinator is stepping up and doing other front office duties.
I think that's a fake title, okay? Because if you're
you
insurance coordinator,
no. Are fake.
Look, if you're the insurance coordinator of the office and you're outsourcing billing,
right? And then you're not an insurance coordinator.
I mean, maybe you're coordinating the outsourcing billing department, but then you're really doing. It's like people say, "I have a treatment coordinator." I'm like, you have somebody that you say is a treatment coordinator. You have a dedicated treatment coordinator.
They're a checkout person.
Yeah. So
a lot of the time.
It's very different. All right, we rambled on a little bit, right, Caroline? That's okay. And hopefully we answer this question with lots of different things. For everybody, it's great being with you this week. We'll continue to have episodes because we pre-record in advance. Maybe this episode won't come out until after I get back from playing golf. But wish me luck in making it 2 weeks with my 17-year-old son in a foreign country. Okay, with us not arguing. We love each other, but we're both...
Competitive.
He's a duplicate of me, so I know he's hard-headed and always thinks he's right. And good luck to my back for being able to play golf for 10 days straight. And I hope that I can win 5 out of the 10 matches with my son this week. That would be amazing. So thank you, guys, and we'll see you guys next week.